everyone. In this recording, I'm going to talk for, I don't know how many minutes, but not a very long time, on the idea of quizzing and retrieval quizzing. Quizzing is a word that has emerged relatively recently in my experience, so I've been interested to find out what it means, where it comes from, what the research about it is about. So I've read several research papers, mainly Yang 2021, Butler 2010, and several others that they refer to. It seems that quizzing does help learning, where learning is defined as retention of facts and procedures. And in the literature on quizzing, they can mean all kinds of things, from short answer questions, filling in the blanks, free recall, cued guided recall, even writing short essays, concept mapping, and particularly multiple choice questions. So anything really that serves to remind you of things you learnt previously and requires you to remind yourself from things you learnt recently, previously. So I'm wondering, who wasn't doing that? Who is it that wasn't doing that? So the word retrieval had to become a new thing that was talked about. And while I was thinking about that, I realised that what people might be missing is the sort of textbook design that was around till relatively recently, where every so often you got a kind of reminder quiz about what you've just been learning. And then eventually you got a mixed questions kind of reminder as well. Most textbook series had those embedded in their design. But if you're resourcing your teaching by going online and picking out just something you need right now for the topic you're teaching right now, you wouldn't see that sense of continuous design, and you're having to do it yourselves. And therefore you're having to design retrieval quizzes and mixed question collections for yourself. And therefore, presumably, you want some sort of research backing for that, rather than going on what has traditionally been found to be useful in textbook design throughout the decades. But in both of those ways towards it, you need to think, well, why is it that this aids learning, if learning is defined as retention of facts and procedures? And one of the theories is, well, the more exposure you have to an idea, the more likely you are to remember it. But it turns out that that's not necessarily true. But I think that what teachers do, what experienced teachers do in classrooms, is they direct learners' attention to what's important in a mathematical idea or procedure or fact. And they direct attention to, it's important to remember this. It's important to remember this. And it's important that this comes to mind in particular situations. Now, most of the research has been done with psychology undergraduates and other undergraduates, people who hang around in the coffee bars and get invited upstairs to the psychology laboratory to do experiments. Mostly the testing has not been done on some subject that they're interested in and that they've chosen to learn. It's some kind of other collection of information. That's why it's very often limited to factual and procedural stuff in some topic area that isn't necessarily of interest to the research subject. And that's, first of all, that's unrealistic in terms of teaching and learning in classrooms. But secondly, the reason that's done is because if you want to measure a pure effect of quizzing and testing, then you don't want people to have prior knowledge, prior experience, existing partial schema, and you don't want different levels of motivation to get in the way of your results, which of course is all silly. And as a teacher, you need to take all those things into account. And in fact, you need to use those beneficially. One of the results that is reported in this research is unsurprising. The quizzing and the final, if the teaching, the quizzing and the final testing all match in format, the results are very strong. So what? Well, more interestingly, it does seem that multiple choice questions have a stronger effect on final learning. What's interesting for a teacher is to think, why should that be so? And I think the answer must be because of the effortful learning that you do with multiple choice. I'm not just saying, I don't know the answer to this, so I'll just choose number two every time. I'm not talking about that kind of response to multiple choice, but a well-designed multiple choice set of questions will give you something to consider. I'm rejecting this. Why am I rejecting this? I'm accepting this. Why am I accepting this? So there's a bit of thinking that has to go on, a bit of processing. And as we know, that kind of processing can help to structure the underlying schema, as well as giving you more information to give you channels towards that idea in your long-term memory. And that idea of effortful retrieval seems to be the most helpful in the research, that if the retrieval is not automatic, then the act of retrieval makes further retrieval more likely when it's needed. So we're not after automatic fluency as a goal, because that might not help, as a short-term goal, because that might not help longer term storage and longer term retrieval. It's effortful retrieval that seems to make the difference. Now, in the midst of all this fairly obvious stuff, some more interesting results show that being reminded about recent learning through a variety of types of quizzing has been shown in some studies to have a positive effect on concept learning and on solving unfamiliar problems, not only on remembering facts and methods. Now you're talking, I thought, that's what I'm interested in. That's for me what learning mathematics is being able to solve unfamiliar problems further down the line. Because so far I hadn't managed to work out what it was that wasn't obvious. If the final test is something learnt a while ago that was fact, if the final test is on facts and procedures. But unfortunately, the research that makes this claim about solving unfamiliar problems and concept learning isn't very informative. In the studies that I've found, people were told that they were going to be tested before they studied the subject matter. And given that they were mainly undergraduate psychology students, they were probably therefore using strategic methods of learning when they were doing the initial tasks. It's been shown that undergraduates become more and more strategic in their approach to texts and teaching and learning as they go through their courses. So they've been more assiduous in the effortful formation of schema while they have been doing the initial learning, knowing that these are going to be useful in the future. Secondly, the studies about this learning seem to be mainly about categorizations, learning bird species, learning artistic methods, and the test of unfamiliarity is to apply those categories to new objects. It's not very relevant for mathematical problem solving, but might be relevant for bird spotting. Oh, it looks like a sparrow. Oh, it's yellow. you know, those sorts of things that we do when we're trying to categorize something we haven't seen before. So that's not terribly helpful, which is a pity because I got excited when I started reading that work. And for transfer to unfamiliar situations, it was found that giving hints led to more success with unfamiliar tasks. At that point, I just want to give up and think, for goodness sake. Anyway, so I was disappointed, but not surprised. Of course, being tested, knowing you're going to be tested, being given hints helps you to be better at subsequent related tasks and test items. That's traditional maths teaching, traditional teacher practice. That's even what parents at home, when they're homeschooling, do, is they give hints. And they say, you know, remember this because I'll ask you about it again tomorrow. They do that. That's, you know, the research really doesn't tell us anything more than common sense in trying to help people understand things. And of course, retrieving from memory is useful if the test items are similar to what's already been packaged in long-term memory, because it mimics your previous experience. The main thought for me was the idea that the emergence of the idea that effortful retrieval helps develop our future abilities to retrieve successfully from memory. It may be, this is my own reading of the literature, it may be that it's the retrieving itself, possibly having multiple pathways, that seems to matter in knowing how to retrieve. And there certainly is evidence that having multiple ways of accessing something in your long-term memory does aid retrieval. And that would support the research by Askew and others about connectionist teaching. That would support the idea of using multiple representations. And that would support the idea that you find throughout successful countries teaching of having multiple methods for approaching situations rather than only one method, which can be used with error or forgotten. This ability to retrieve is additional to and different from recognizing the need to use something that is already fluent and fairly similar. So as with all statements that come with the introduction, research says, as in research says quizzing is helpful, I would really urge people to read the small print and to understand what they're being told, why they're being told it, and whether that fits with their own experience of learning. But there is one caveat here, and this is a health warning for the over 60s. Although I say that effortful retrieval aids retrieval more generally, and that does seem to be a hint in some of the research I've written as a possible explanation for research results, certainly at my age, you find that effortful retrieval can actually be a barrier to memory. And those of us who've lost a word or a name or something, we find if we keep trying to find it, we can't find it. But if we go off and do something else, somehow our subconsciouses work this out. And about 10 minutes later, the name or the word just comes into our minds when we're doing something else. And this is not only for the over 60s. In mathematics, this is a very well-known experience, that you can work at something and work at something and work at something and hit the buffers again and again and again. But when you go off and do something else, suddenly a new pathway or a new memory or a new item of mathematics that might be useful pop into your mind. And that's got to be taken account of in the ways that we think about how do children learn and how do they learn to in such a way that it supports a solution of unfamiliar problems in unfamiliar situations later on in mathematics. The literature I read for this, as I said at the beginning, is mainly from Yang and from Butler, who both did reviews of literature, and I used their papers as portals to other research. I didn't just take their comments on it, I actually went and read the papers that they had read.